ينزلوا إلى سماء الدنيا. That Allah descends to the lowest heaven. And they mentioned in the book down here.
Okay, I'll just leave it there.
So this report, as I said, is reported by Imam Ahmad, in his Muslim, and the hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. And the hadith is also a hadith which is mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of people at every stage. And the hadith is also reported as a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, by Imam al-Bukhari, as hadith 1145, and by Muslim, with the wording, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر يقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له من يسألني فأعطيه من يستغفرني فأغفر له. حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. The word that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Our Lord, the Exalted and Most High, descends every night to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains. He says, Who will call upon me so that I should respond to him? Who will ask of me so that I should give to him? Who will ask forgiveness of me so that I should forgive him? And Shaykh al-Albani commented in his notes to Al-Tahawiyah that this hadith is sahih, of course sahih, being reported by Bukhari Muslim, mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of narrators at every level, the level of companions, tabi'in, at about tabi'in all the way down. And as for the second narration, it's referred to, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُرَى فِي الْقِيَامَةِ, that Allah will be seen on the resurrection. And they mention in the book up here, refer for the ahadith about the ru'ya, about seeing Allah on the day of resurrection. They give some references you can refer to in Jami' al-Usul of Ibn al-Athir, in Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyah, and the ahadith in that regard are mutawatir also. In the hadith that Allah will be seen on the day of resurrection are also mutawatir. And you can find amongst these ahadith, the hadith reported by Bukhari, as hadith 554, and elsewhere, and reported by Muslim from a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, as part of a long hadith which begins, which includes the wording, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ, you will certainly see your Lord. Then Imam Ahmad commented upon these two hadith and what is similar to these ahadith. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as it goes on page 48 here, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, when the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned the obligation of having iman in the texts of the names and the attributes as they occur in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he wanted to mention the position of the Salaf. He wanted to mention the position of the pious predecessors. And some examples from their sayings regarding this matter. So therefore, in other words, he's mentioned the principles already. Acceptance of the text of the Book and the Sunnah, the affirming of those names and attributes. Now he wants to give some examples, actual statements, from some of the Imams from his time, from his other. As he said, so he mentioned some speech of Imam Ahmad, and some speech of Imam Shafi'i, and some speech of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and some speech of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the chief of the believers, the Khalifa, the Wali guided Khalifa, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. And some speech of Al-Awza'i, the Imam of the Ahl al-Sunnah in his time. And all of that will follow, inshaAllah, if Allah wishes. So these are some examples from the sayings of the Salaf
Salaf al-Salih, the sayings of the pious predecessors regarding this matter. Of course, here, beginning with the same here, we're beginning with of Imam Ahmad. That he said about the like of these narrations, نؤمن بها ونصدق بها. We have iman in them, and we attest to their truthfulness. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation of this, Imam Ahmad says, نؤمن بها. We have iman in them, truly believe in them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning in these texts, the descending of Allah, the Nuzul, the descending of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, to the lowest heaven, and its like, and that he will be seen on the day of resurrection, openly, with the people's eyes. The believers will see him openly with their eyes. They will see their Lord openly with their eyes, and the like of these texts. In other words, these two texts are mentioned as examples. The principle applies to all of the texts, and he gives two examples. Shaykh Fawzan said, he says, نُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَنُصَدِّقُ بِهَا. We have iman in them, and we attest to their truthfulness. Shaykh Fawzan said, contrary to the Mubtadi'ah, contrary to the people of innovation, those who do not have iman in them, and who meet them with denial or with ta'wil, with misinterpretation and tahrif, and distorting the meaning. People of the Sunnah, they do as Imam Ahmad said. We have iman in them, and we attest to their being truthful. Contrary to people of deviation, who either deny them, misinterpret them, or distort the meaning. And to continue with the quote of Imam Ahmad, that he said, La kayf, without saying how. La kayf, without saying how. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, we do not seek after how they are, and so say, he descends to the lowest heaven. How does he descend? We don't say that. When it comes to the matter of Allah's descending, we don't say, how does he descend? We don't do that. Shaykh said, Al-Kayfiyya, the how is not known except to Allah. So he descends as he wishes, he the Perfect and Most High. Since no one knows his tremendous greatness, he the Perfect and his ability, except Allah. No one knows his tremendous greatness, no one knows his ability except Allah himself, the Majestic and Most High. So we do not seek after the kayfiyya, we do not seek after how he descends. Does the throne come to be without him? Or does it not come to be without him? We don't ask these sort of things. We don't go into these sort of things. In the matter of Allah's descending, we don't start saying, does that mean that the throne is therefore without him? Or the throne is not without him? And does this happen? And does that? We don't do that. Shaykh said, and saying, how does he descend to the lowest heaven? When the last third of the night varies in different regions. He mentioned something else that the people of innovation bring up. Instead of just affirming that Allah descends, as the Prophet ﷺ said, instead of just affirming it, they bring up problems. They say, well, what about this then? There's a problem here. The last third of the night, when the hadith mentions he descends, it varies in different regions. Is the last third in one place, but it's not the last third in another place. So Shaykh said, we don't go into the like of that. We don't say, how does he descend to the lowest heaven, when the last third of the night varies in different regions? Shaykh said, Shaykh Fawzan, so who is the one who created the different regions? And who is the one who created the night and the day? He is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So He is the one who is fully able, He, the Perfect and Most High, to descend however He wishes. Even though the regions vary with respect to the last third of the night. In other words, that does not matter whatsoever. It does not matter. He said, this is with respect to us. And the variation of the regions, that one part of the world is night, and the next part is day, and so on, and how it varies. But this is with respect to us. But with respect to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then He has ability over everything. So therefore we do not enter into the kayfiyyah. We do not enter into the how of His descending, and how He descends. We don't enter into that. Then He said, mention the next thing. And likewise, that He will be seen in the hereafter. How will He be seen? I mean, we don't ask that. We don't say, how will He be seen? We say, we do not seek after that. We do not seek after that. We affirm that He will be seen with the eyes open, just as the moon can be seen on the night when it is full, and just as the sun can be clearly seen when there are no clouds hiding it. We have Iman in this, we truly believe in it, and we do not seek after how the seeing will be, how the ru'yah will be. Because this is something which is not known except to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Here's some further examples. He said, Yaji, He comes, may Allah the Most High comes. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, the ayah from Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th surah, ayah 22. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, and with the explanation, and your Lord comes. كَيْفَ يَجِيبُ. We don't do that. We don't say, how does He come? He said, we say, we do not seek after the كَيْفِيَّة. We do not seek after, research into the kayfiyyah, how, of how He comes. Rather, we affirm that He comes, He the Perfect and Most High, as befits His Majesty, كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. He comes, He the Perfect and Most High, as befits His Majesty. So therefore we have Iman, truly believe in the attributes, and we know their meaning. However, we do not seek after how they are. So this is why he said, and this is why Imam Ahmad said, وَلَا كَيْفُ, without saying how. Then the text continues, that Imam Ahmad continued, رَحْمُهُوَاهُ, وَلَا مَعْنَى, and without giving a different meaning to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, وَلَا مَعْنَى, literally and with no meaning, as Shaykh al-Fawzan makes clear in the explanation, what is meant here is, and without giving a different meaning to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what is meant by this wording, وَلَا مَعْنَى, and no meaning? What is meant by this wording is, the meaning which is given as an explanation for it by the people of innovation. And that is ta'wil. That is misinterpretation. Interpreting the meaning means something different. This is the meaning that Imam Ahmad is denying. The Shaykh said, it does not mean to negate the true meaning, for its meaning is known. In the texts of the book and the Sunnah, mentioning attributes of Allah, that the meaning is known, the meaning of each attribute is known. And Imam Ahmad did not mean to deny the known and clear meaning. What he meant was denying the false meaning that people of innovation introduced. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said here, it does not mean negation of the true meaning, for its meaning is known. Just as Imam Malik said, al-istiwa'u ma'lum, wal-kayfu majhool, wal-iman bihi wajib, wal-su'alu anhu bid'ah. That Imam Malik rahimahullah said, al-istiwa, the attribute of Allah's ascending, is known, and how, the kayf, is unknown, and having iman in it is obligatory, and asking about it, Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning asking about how it is a bid'ah. Imam Malik said, asking about it is a bid'ah, an innovation. In a footnote they mentioned, this is reported by Abdullah Likari in his book, Sharh Usul Ittikad Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. This quote from Imam Malik. In other words, as Imam Malik makes clear in that quote, the meaning of Allah's attributes is known, it's something known, we don't deny it. Fawzan then said, so the meaning of his saying, meaning of the saying of Imam Ahmad here in this text, the meaning of his saying, وَلَا مَعْنَى, and with no meaning, or without giving a meaning, that's a different meaning. He said, i.e. the meaning which is intended by the people of misguidance, and that is ta'wil. Ta'wil, misinterpretation, giving a false meaning. Such as doing ta'wil, misinterpreting the hand, the yad, to mean qudra. And he gives a list of the attributes of Allah the Most High, which the people of deviation, people of ta'wil who misinterpret Allah's attributes, which they misinterpret. So he mentions the attribute and then what they misinterpret it to mean. He said, like the misinterpretation of al-yad, the hand, to say it means al-qudra, ability. And of his coming, al-majid, to mean the coming of his command. And of his descending, al-nuzul, to mean the descending of his command, and the like of that. Shaykh said, these are the meanings which they have come with, and we reject them. And we reject these false and new meanings. These are not the meanings meant by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So therefore he, Imam Ahmad, he did not intend to deny the meaning which is the actual meaning of the speech in the Arabic language. And he's making this point because some people of deviation, they try and use that. They try and use the like of this quote of Imam Ahmad and say, look, Imam Ahmad here is saying there's no meaning, we don't give any meaning to his texts. So he's making it clear here, this is not what Imam Ahmad means. That we say we don't affirm any meaning at all. Like he said. So he, meaning Imam Ahmad, he did not intend to deny the meaning which is the actual meaning of the speech in the Arabic language. Rather, what he meant was to deny the newly invented meaning, since he was refuting the people of innovation. So therefore, he was refuting the meaning which they intend and which they newly invented. So therefore, this wording cannot be clung onto by someone desiring to deceive and saying, Imam Ahmad is a mufawwid. This is what some people try and do. They say, look here, Imam Ahmad said, he mentioned the attributes and said, we don't give any meaning to them, we don't throw a meaning. And therefore Imam Ahmad is a mufawwid. Meaning by mufawwid, as we've had in the books before we studied, those who say we affirm the wording of an attribute, but we don't affirm any meaning for it. We say we leave the meaning to Allah, we don't have any meaning. We don't know the meaning of yad, we don't know the meaning of nuzul, we just affirm the word, and we don't know any meaning. So they try and say that Imam Ahmad was this because he said he had no meaning. So therefore, Shaykh Fawzan is saying these people are trickery, want to try and say that Imam Ahmad was mufawwid, somebody who affirmed the wording,
without the meaning. They say, but they say, because he said la ma'na, no meaning. And this is the way of the mufawwidha, this is the way of those who affirm the wordings but not the meaning. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, but Imam Ahmad was not from the mufawwidha. Imam Ahmad was not from those people who affirm the wording but don't affirm the meaning. He was from those who are mufawwidha only with regard to how. He was from those who entrust the meaning, leave the meaning, from those who entrust the how only, not the meaning. Because the how, the kayfiyah, the how, must be entrusted, must be left and entrusted. And we don't enter into how. We affirm the meaning, but we don't say how. And that was what Imam Ahmad was upon. He affirmed the meaning, he affirmed the wording, the meaning, but he did not go into how. That has to be left. As for the language meaning, then that is clear. It is not to be done tafweed or it is not to be given up on and left. Rather, it is to be explained and made clear. Then he continues with the next part of the speech of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, that he said, وَلَا نَرُدُّ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا. And we do not reject anything from them. And from the texts of the book and the sunnah affirming Allah's attributes. And we do not reject anything from them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, we do not reject anything from the texts as the innovators reject things, claiming that they conflict with their intellects. So they reject texts and they make the intellects the judge. And particularly in this matter, the matter of Allah's names and the matter of Allah's attributes, that's where they particularly do this. They reject many, many texts. They say because it's against the intellect. As the Shaykh said, as describing them, this is what the people of innovation do. Then continue the quote from Imam Ahmad, rahmahullah, وَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ حَقٌّ. And we know that whatever the messenger came with is the truth. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whatever the messenger came with is true. It does not contain any error. And it does not contain any misguidance, nor anything deceptive. Rather, it is just the truth upon its reality. It was brought by the most truthful one from the creation, alayhi salatu wassalam. May Allah extol him and grant him perfect peace and security. The one who does not speak from his own desires, al-Amin, al-Ma'noon, the trustworthy one, the one who is entrusted, alayhi salatu wassalam. So whatever he came with is true upon what is apparent from it and upon its reality. That was apparent in the text of the attributes of the light. We hold it for the truth. We don't say what people deviation say, or what's apparent from it is misguidance, or error, or the like. We don't say that. And then to finish off, carry on this quote to be the rest of our time, inshaAllah, that Imam Ahmad, rahmahullah, continued, وَلَا نَرُدُّ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And we do not reject anything which comes from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran said, as is done by the people, misguidance. Those who reject things which come from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger says, yanzil rabbuna. So the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, our Lord descends. Again, the previous hadith, same as the previous hadith that was mentioned, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And they give a reference here, it's reported in a number of places in Al Bukhari, and the reference of here is hadith number 7494. So the Shaykh said, so the Messenger says, our Lord descends. Yet they say, the people of deviation, people of innovation, they say, his command descends. Yanzil amruhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he, our Lord, descends. But they say, his command descends. So therefore, they are seeking to correct the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are saying, the Messenger did not make the reality clear. Because he said, our Lord descends, when the actual reality is that his command descends. Shaykh said, so this is seeking to make a correction to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, and likewise, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ Surah Al-Qajr, the 89th Surah, Ayah 22, saying of Allah the Most High, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ with the explanation, and your Lord comes on the day of resurrection, your Lord comes. Shaykh said, they say, the people of misguidance, they say, his command comes. His command comes. So this is seeking to make a correction to the Quran and seeking to correct the Lord of the whole of creation, the perfect and most high. The remainder of the quote from Imam Ahmad till next time, inshaAllah. So just briefly before we finish, we'll mention something from Shaykh Al-Thaymeen, rahimahullah. As we mentioned before, the explanation of Shaykh Al-Thaymeen, rahimahullah, there is a translation available of his explanation. So we won't need to mention very much from it, but just at this point, we'll mention something from Shaykh Al-Thaymeen, rahimahullah. A further emphasis of what Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation. So he said, when you quote the part that refers to the part of the text that we had so far. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, rahimahullah, he said, that which the speech of Imam Ahmad includes with regard to the ahadith about the descending and their life, that the speech of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, which the author quoted from him, contains the following. Firstly, the obligation of having iman, of having true faith, and of affirming the truth of that which came from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the ahadith of the attributes of the sifat, without adding anything and without deleting anything, and without giving any confines or any limits. And the second point Shaykh mentions is that la kayf, without saying how, la kayf wa la ma'na, that we do not say how they are, and we do not give a different meaning, Shaykh said, meaning we do not say how these attributes are. Because saying how they are is impossible. As is perceived, you can't say how Allah's attributes, we don't know. It does not mean that there is no how for them. It does not mean that there is no how for Allah's attributes. Since His attributes are confirmed in truth, and everything that is confirmed, it must have a how. However, how the attributes of Allah are is not known to us. And that's when we say the Malakay. We do not say how Allah's attributes are. Really, there isn't any how for them. It's that we don't know how they are. We can't know, we don't know how they are. And as for, he said, and as for his saying, وَلَا مَعْنَى, that we do not give any new meaning to them, we don't give any different meaning to them, he said meaning. We do not affirm for them a meaning which is contrary to what is apparent from them. as is done by the people of Ta'wil, as is done by the people of misinterpretation. It doesn't mean negating the correct meaning, which conforms what is apparent from them, which is the explanation given by the Salaf. Because this is confirmed. And it gives further evidence, he said, because the rest of Imam Ahmad's speech confirms that. That's what he meant. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And the points of clarification. As for outright denial, then obviously outright denial of the text, the pure and outright denial is pure and open kufr. If somebody comes along to the ayah, mentions the attribute of Allah, and says, I just don't believe it. It's there in the ayah, I don't believe it. As for, so that, and some people do just that, I don't believe in it. Whatever excuses they give. Others, they come and they don't outright deny it, they say we agree with it, we agree with the wording, as we affirm the wording, but then they have a problem with the meaning of it. So what they do, they say we can't affirm this meaning because our intellect will not affirm this meaning for Allah, so we need to give it a different meaning, something that our intellect can accept. So therefore they say it means such and such. For example, on Allah, they say, whatever it may say, because affirming a hand for Allah, it means such and such means resemblance to the creation of our hands. We can't do that, there's no resemblance to the creation. Therefore we need to affirm something, so we affirm a different meaning, say we affirm Qudra. The hand in this case means Qudra. So they're not outrightly denying, they're not denying the wording, but they're denying the correct meaning, but indirectly. That's why the obvious scholars mention this, it's something of deviation. Deviation to this. It's not the same as the first case, outwardly and openly just denying the text, it's not the same thing.
In that part, when he says the Lord comes, is that in reference to the descendants that seek the title?
The people of the Sunnah refer to the quotes of a different text.
No!
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no! That our Lord descends. So we affirm the Nuzul, we affirm that Allah descends. That's one thing that we affirm, that Allah descends as befits His Majesty. We don't know how, we don't say how. And we also affirm something else, another attribute, a different attribute, which is Al-Majid. That Allah comes on the day of resurrection, when Ya'a Rabbuk, your Lord comes, Al-Malaku Saffan Saffan. Your Lord comes, and the angels come in ranks. So Allah comes. And likewise, how? We don't know how. We affirm that Allah comes. It's a different attribute. As for the hadith that Allah the Most High will be seen on the day of resurrection, then with the wording, it's the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَانَ رَبَّكُمْ, you'll see your Lord. The hadith of the long hadith, that there was a full moon, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions that they are in difficulty in seeing this. Mentioned in when we see your Lord, just as we see the moon and the night when it's full. And as before, in one of the lessons before, the Sheikh put the explanation, just in case someone gets a wrong understanding from that quote, from that text, the Imam Sheikh al-Fimid said, when we say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi that you will see your Lord just as you see the full moon, just as you see the moon on the night when it's full. It doesn't mean any resemblance between our Lord, the Exalted Most High, and between the full moon. No. no resemblance, basically, to his shaykh. There is nothing like him. That would be a wrong understanding of the hadith. Rather, what the hadith is showing is, just as we see the full moon, truly and real, it's a true and real seeing. And likewise, it's not some indirect one, it's not something that's difficult, it's clearly openly seen. And likewise, on the day of resurrection, the believers will likewise see Allah, truly and really. But no resemblance between that which is seen. A brief answer to it. What could we get? A long answer. In classical knowledge, inshallah, we write the books. Just very briefly, obviously, what people, what are Japanese? The Japanese, the Jahmiya, followers of Jahmiya Safwan, and the Mu'tazila. They came with the saying that affirming attributes for Allah, if you affirm more than one attribute, you're affirming more than one creator. For example, if you affirm the most merciful, they say you're affirming more than one, it's just nonsense, church. You're affirming multiple creators. So this was just one aspect. So denying of the Quran, the Quran, saying that the Quran is created, because they deny that Allah speaks in a true and real sense. Just the same as they deny all the rest of the attributes. So then, if it's not the speech of Allah, they say the Quran, because they use the word, it's the speech of Allah, as a word, with the meaning they want to find this in reality, his speech. So then they have to find, then what is it then? It's the speech of someone. So they say, actually, it's the speech of some, you know, things that are different. Some of them say it's the speech of a cloud, it's going to be the speech of Jibreel, it's the speech of Jibreel, or the speech of Jibreel from a cloud, or all sorts of nonsense. As for the Quran, it's the same one. They refuse to affirm it's actually from the speech of Allah. So some people can't see the point. It's not, it was not just one attribute that was in the discussion. But it's all attributes. It just has one big picture. Thank you.